Guys, before we jump into today's show, we've got a loaded show with Zakobi McClain, and then it's War Report Wednesday as well. But breaking news, as it is portal season, that Auburn landed another transfer player Tuesday evening. Eugene Asante. He is a former North Carolina linebacker. He is now a current Auburn Tiger, according to his Instagram post. So he is a junior. He just finished his junior season, according to UNC's website. He was a true freshman in 2019, appeared in 13 games as a true freshman. He appeared in all 12 games his sophomore season. And then this past season, he appeared in 12 games for North Carolina, had 23 tackles, two quarterback hurries, a pass breakup, and half of a tackle for loss. I don't think this is a guy that's changing what you do defensively around him, but we've said it before, and Charlie Five and I talked about Eugene Asante a little bit on yesterday's show, but I think it's a solid piece. I think it provides depth. I think it provides a little bit of upside in regards to, okay, you've got experience, and it's in the ACC, but it's still experience nonetheless. And also with the combination of, obviously, you have Owen Papo coming back in our interview with Zakobi McClain in just a few seconds. You'll hear him when I ask about some potential risers, some guys that could possibly break out in 2022. He mentions two linebackers there. So I think there was a hole in the linebacker room. I think they needed another body. I think this makes sense. And he seems pretty athletic. He seems like a pretty athletic player. It seems like he moves well. But can he put it all together? Can he grasp what Derek Mason does defensively? And once again, in Zakobi McClain, in just a second, we'll talk about the importance of learning how to run zone and Jeff Schmetting's role in all of that as well. But Eugene Asante, a smaller guy. He's 6'5" per UNC's website, and he is 220 pounds. So there you go. There you go. Eugene Asante. This is Locked On Auburn.
Well, Zach, I actually just finished crushing some chicken farm, and I am freaking ready to rock and roll.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on into Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. I'm your host, Zach Blackerby. Thank you so much for making Locked On Auburn your first listen every single day. Yes, it's a War Report Wednesday. We will chat with our guys from the War Report in just a moment. But first, I had a great conversation with former Auburn linebacker Zakobi McClain. Let's jump into that conversation right now. We're now joined by former Auburn linebacker Zakobi McClain. Zakobi, you've become, you know, one of Auburn fans' favorite players over the past few seasons. What was it like kind of making that announcement saying, okay, you know, I've done enough here. It's time to further my career at the next level.
It was good. I was happy because I know I got a chance to be at the next level and just make my family proud. And I just know I left a good legacy at Auburn.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, and you were part of some ferocious defenses. You were a big part in the middle of the defense, you know, pretty much ever since you became a starter on the Plains. What was that like, you know, kind of leading that charge in Jordan-Hare Stadium?
It was exciting because we got the best fans in the nation. And just knowing that our team, like our defense is just like ready to attack. We ready to like kill somebody. Like everybody doing the same like assignment, like everybody on the same task, just go get somebody in the neck and just go win and stuff.
What was the biggest difference in regards to defensive scheme from you were really successful in the Kevin Steele defense. You were also very successful in that Derek Mason defense. What was the biggest difference?
The biggest difference from their defense of Coach Steele defense, really like a more kind of like a man the whole game. But then going to Coach Mason, he showed us how to play zone. So we weren't really used to playing zone. So it took like a couple of weeks over the offseason before I kind of learned how to play zone. And then, like, the run fits is very different. I used to playing against A and B gap, so now my flow is really AC gap, so it really different, big difference.
I would think, Zakobi, that would help your draft stock because now you can go to, you know, these meetings with NFL teams and scouts and you've done more things now. You've kind of got reps at the highest level of college football and succeeding doing both of those things. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, because Coach Steele defense, he ran a lot of nickel. Like, his base defense was nickel, and Coach Mason defense, base nickel. I mean, base defense is 3-4, so it's like, it's big.
Right, right. So who do you expect to step up at the linebacker spot next year? I know Owen Papo made a lot of Auburn fans very happy when he said he was sticking around for another season, but who do you think is going to step up and kind of fill that gap that that you left behind?
I want to say Ken Riley. Ken Riley, Joko Willis.
What about those two guys stands out to you?
Joko Willis, he reminds me a lot of myself. Like,
okay.
He always been an underdog. He's not big, he's very small, but he could play ball. And he's a hitter. Like, you seen against LSU game, he came down on kickoff and knocked him out on the kickoff. And Ken Riley, he very long, lengthy, and like, he know how to make plays. He just gotta be in the playbook more.
Sure. So you played, this last season that you had under Brian Harsin, a lot of changes around the program. What do you think was the biggest thing that you learned about football or about life, whatever it may be, from Coach Harsin?
A lot I heard about Coach Harsin is just be 1-0, just take everything, just 1-0, just win the day, just stay 1-0, and just always fight and always win, just be a leader.
Right. And what about your relationship with Coach Smedding? What did that look like?
Coach Smedding, I love Coach Smedding. He's really? Really good. He's very good. Like, he really helped me a lot with my zone. He helped me like understand defense more and like understand my job more.
Sure, absolutely. So we love nicknames on this show, and you had a great one, Ricochet Rabbit. What was kind of the origin story for that?
When I was a freshman, I used to Coach Steele gave me the name Ricochet Rabbit because when I hit, he gave me that when I was a freshman. So when I hit people, I bounce off of them, like, go make plays, like, I'm very quick, and I'm just like Ricochet Rabbit, like, he's very fast, he's gonna get there fast, like, pew pew pew. I'm just like that all around the field.
We before that nickname was public and we started referring to you as that. We called you on the show Chainsaw McClain because you could just tear through opposing blockers. So I hope that was okay. I wish people would call me Chainsaw. So I think that's pretty cool. So
yeah, because Coach Tewis said I'll find a chainsaw. That's true though. Find anything.
I love that. But I mean, Auburn has had a tear of really good linebackers, Jacoby, and you're the latest addition to that. Owen's going to be, a stud in 2022 for the Tigers, and then maybe Cam Riley or Joko Willis, like you said, step up. But what does that mean now that you kind of got to carry that torch that's been, for the past decade, Auburn's had good linebackers? That's got to be a cool thing to be a part of.
I mean, a lot, cause like you finally see all your hard work pay off, and like my freshman year, after the bowl game, I didn't really play much. My dad told me to just leave a stamp. So I just listened to my dad and just made sure every day since that bowl game, my freshman year, just keep working hard and just be remembered.
Remind me which bowl game that was.
It was when we played Purdue.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, y'all scored a lot of points in that one. That was a fun one to watch, for sure. So you have signed with Choice One Management. What went through your mind in that decision, and what does the relationship with you and the guys over there look like?
Oh, it's a good relationship. Really going to help me with off the field and on the field. They really got good influence on me.
Sure. So how do you think NIL is going to change college football in regards to, what you saw last season? Was the first season where you were really able to benefit from that? I saw you kind of make a few posts throughout the year, kind of partnering with other companies, but do you expect your recruitment, maybe it would have looked a little different if NIL would have been around at that point in college football?
Yeah, it would be very major. You get a lot of money in your pockets.
Sure.
You know, they really didn't get paid back then. Now they're getting paid, so it really just changed the game. And then you got a transfer porter. Now that team is trying to get players more NIL deals to come to their team and stuff. It's big.
Yeah. Is there part of you where it's like, man, where was this 3 or 4 years ago? That would have been fantastic.
Yes, because I would have been I wouldn't have been living in dorms. I would have been out the dorms way earlier than my senior year.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. But I mean, I think it's great for the players. I think it's great this movement of, you know, giving power to the players, letting them make their own decisions. And I think it's awesome. I think it's going to make college football a lot better. Hey, I let the folks in my my Locked On Auburn Discord know that I was recording a conversation with you. They had a few questions. A lot of folks wanted to know what was your proudest moment while at Auburn, and a lot of people chimed in. They assume it's the 2019 Iron Bowl play where you took that one away from Mac Jones, but I'll let you answer that one.
Yeah, it was the Iron Bowl. This is the closed game. It was in the score in the Reds. I'm about to take the lead up. Then I caught the pick, took it to the curb because Mac Jones is a good quarterback. So it's amazing. NFL quarterback just being able to take 100 yards in the Iron Bowl, making history.
And that's got to be fun too, because while Chris Davis got to run it a little bit farther than you did in an Iron Bowl, you're running a long time. And so, like, you just get to soak it in, right? Because, I mean, once you got to, like, you know, 20, you got 80 yards still to run. Like, you knew you had it at that point. So, like, that had to be an awesome moment.
Yeah, it was amazing. The field was shaking. It felt like it was a movie. Like, it was just amazing.
Yeah. Was that the loudest game that you've played in? I've heard a lot of folks say that it may have been this year's Iron Bowl. What's the loudest environment you've been in?
Oh, no, that's a good one, though. That's my Auburn or, like, other schools, too.
How about one of each? The loudest Auburn game and then the loudest place you've played in general?
I'm going to say when I caught – I'm going to say 2019 Iron Bowl and then Florida, the Gators.
Really?
Yeah, they stayed on be rocking.
Yeah, they were ready for that game. That was, I mean, you guys still showed out. I mean, that was a great defensive performance on y'all's part.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's cool. As far as your favorite memory as an Auburn Tiger, it may still be the same answer to that question with 2019, your 2019 performance in the Iron Bowl. But, I mean, is there a favorite specific memory of your time on the Plains?
Like a specific.
Yeah, and it could be the pick six. I mean, that's a dang good answer. Just
yeah, that's the only one that I really I would never forget.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Okay,
I can say my Texas A&M game when I had 17 tackles. I never had that many tackles in a game.
Not many people have. I mean, that's crazy. I mean,
yeah,
the COVID year. The fact that you had 100 tackles in a shortened season. I mean, that is crazy. I mean, you were just a magnet to the football that season.
Yeah, it's
that. What is that? I mean, is that a system thing, Zacoby? Not to discredit anything that you did, of course, you executed it perfectly. But as far as, like, you know, you need guys in front of you, right, to, you know, kind of eat up blocks and things like that. But I mean, what all goes into you being able to do that for such a long period of time?
Just about the coaches putting you in the right position, knowing what you could do with your ability to make the plays and your D-line. Well, we didn't really have a good D-line that year, so I really had to get out of the mud and just fight to make plays.
Yeah. Who's the best defender that you think you got to play with? And if you don't want to just say one guy, you can say a handful. But, you know, some of the more talented guys where you're just, like, seeing them at practice and it's like, man, this guy's a special player. I'm glad I'm getting to play with this dude.
Roger McCurry, no doubt.
Is he the best corner in college football last year?
Best corner, my eyes.
Really?
He the GOAT. I let him know that every day he the GOAT because he very humble.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to talk a whole lot.
Yeah, no, he's not a big talker.
And normally the cliche, you know, Roger McCreary's my I love watching corners. Cornerback play is my, you know, elite corners. There's nothing else like it. But seeing his style of play, normally when you bat down a pass, there's some jawing, you know, you get in their ears kind of thing. Like Carlton Davis did that. No, Igbinoga didn't really do it, but you know, normally you see those elite corners kind of, you know, mouthing off a little bit. Yeah. Roger does he do that, you know, behind closed doors in the locker room or anything like that? Or is that just who he is?
That's just who he is. I try to tell him every day, like, that's my best friend, my roommate, like my brother, since I was got there. I try to tell him, like, so express yourself. Let him know that you, let him feel you.
I love it. I love watching him play because you could see sometimes, and you definitely saw it in the Iron Bowl this year.
Yeah. It came out then.
It did. I mean, that was one of the best corner performances I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he was incredible, and the whole defense was y'all are all balling out. That was That was a crazy performance, no question about it. So, Zacoby, is there a specific player in the NFL that you're kind of modeling your game after throughout this draft process?
I can say two of them, but I like Darius Leonard because he's not a big linebacker. He's very small, and he know how to make a lot of plays and create turnovers, and he's a good big time changing player. Like, he could change the game anytime. And Bobby Wagner.
Okay. My two favorites.
Yeah,
Bobby Wagner. Both those guys have gotten paid a lot of money, so that'd be awesome. Yeah, both of those guys, when they were added to their specific defenses, like, changed the whole outlook of the team. I mean, just from a culture standpoint, they totally changed what they were doing.
They're very versatile, so it's a lot. You can't do much against a versatile linebacker. Like, he could do anything. Yeah.
Right.
Three down linebackers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Zacoby, thank you for spending a few minutes here on Locked On Auburn. Really, really appreciate it. And on behalf of everyone watching and listening, thank you so much for everything that you did for Auburn during your time here.
I appreciate you. War Eagle.
Thank you so much, Zacoby. Really enjoyed the passion and the conversation. Hey, it's the new year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours, like mine, is getting healthy in 2022, Built Bar needs to be a part of your plan. I'm down 9 pounds in the new year, and I've had a Built Bar pretty much every single day so far. It's when you're eating, you know, a calorie deficit, you kind of, you know, start dragging a little bit mid-afternoon. Built Bar gets you through that with 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, just 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. If you compare that to a candy bar, it's going to be, you know, a drastic difference. So check out all the different flavors they have at built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. That's at built.com. It's now time for a little War Report Wednesday action. Joining us, as always, Mike G and C-Dub. Gentlemen, we got more quarterback news on the plains. Of course, people eat that stuff up. Robbie Ashford from Oregon transferring to Auburn. Mike G, we'll start with you. Your general thoughts on this move?
You know what? We were expecting it. So we were on to this transfer a few weeks ago when we got wind of him being at bowl practice the day before the Birmingham Bowl. So Robbie Ashford to Auburn is not a total shock. I think that it just kind of highlights that these coaches are looking to, you know, get talented guys in and just let them compete for the job, right? That's it. So we'll see. You know, I watched his spring tape, Zach, and he looked good in the little bit of action that he did. I think he throws a good ball. He's a dual sport athlete, so he plays baseball as well. Very talented. He's athletic, but, you know, he's not a run first QB. I think that's an important distinction.
Sure.
I saw him sit in the pocket and just try to go through his reads and progressions. He throws a pretty good deep ball. So we've got an interesting QB battle brewing this fall that should be fun to watch.
Right. C-Dub, your early thoughts on this quarterback battle that's coming up?
I mean, I was excited for us getting this kid. This kid is someone who I felt Auburn should have been able to get coming out of high school. And from what I'm hearing, this kid wanted to come to Auburn at some point. But of course, you know, he ended up at Oregon. So I'm happy to see that we have him now. This kid has a lot of eligibility left. So he's not a one and done kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about his talent, his physical ability. He's 6'4", good size, can run, but is as Mike G alluded to, he's not a run first QB. So I like what we've managed to do in the offseason in terms of getting in Zach Calzada, who I know you're high on, Zach, and Ashford coming in. I'm
sorry to interrupt you, C-Dub. I love that somebody paid you guys $5 to have some a comment pop up on y'all's on one of y'all's lives about, you know, I hope that Zach Calzada does well so Blacker be like have to eat crow or something.
Oh no, they want you to say something nice. Say something nice about Zach Calzada.
I have said things nice.
Okay, all right,
but. I think he's an average quarterback, but I mean, he has traits. He has traits that carry over, but whatever. I love that somebody paid money for that to pop up. And,
that's funny. Yeah. People will pay for anything.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, Caesar. I cut you off.
No, you're good.
I just had to squeeze that in there. Keep going, brother.
I'm excited to see what this spring looks like, because now I feel like we're about to have the spring that we hoped we was going to have last year. I don't think there's a prohibitive favorite going into the spring.
Love it.
And so this provides an opportunity for everyone in that QB room to show what they got for this coaching staff, and may the best man win.
Do you believe that there's legitimately not a favorite?
Yes, I do. I do believe that. I think.
Okay.
That,
yeah.
I think that what we're seeing here is a little bit of a resetting of the guard. And you know, there are quarterbacks in this room. Somebody's about to transfer, Zach.
Yeah, there's too many guys, right?
Yeah, somebody's about to transfer. You know, and so I have my thoughts on who that will be. But
who you think it's going to be?
You know what? Honestly, a lot of people are going to hate this take. I don't think that D. Davis takes a snap at Auburn University.
Yeah. That was something that we talked about a little bit yesterday with the Ashford news in regards to, like, what if I'm D. Davis and I'm sitting there and this happens? It's like, well, what am I supposed to do in this situation?
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
There's
too many guys with too much eligibility left, and the coaches are kind of signaling which way they're heading. So. Yeah. You know, it started, you know, there's been a lot made about guys leaving the program over the last few weeks. And I will tell you, it's not so much guys choosing to leave than it is this coaching staff saying we're going to go in a different direction.
Yeah.
Here's the door.
Right.
That's more of what's happening with this program right now. So I think it happened at quarterback. I think it's happening at other positions. You know, and at the end of the day, Harsin is building. He's talked repeatedly about rebuilding culture. And some guys bought into the new culture and will thrive in it. Other guys said, not for me, I'm out, right? Other guys didn't understand what that meant until now. And now there's a rude awakening. So if you're D. Davis, every game that passes that I do not start, the clock is ticking. You are officially on the clock because he doesn't get a COVID year.
Right. But I do want to put this out there in regards. So, like, if D. Davis leaves, I don't believe it has to do with culture. I believe it has to do with playing time.
Yeah, I'm not there. I'm not there with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not there with you. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening on social media that is cringe right now coming. Some of these guys are just not doing them any favors. This staff is not a fan of that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They're not a fan of rogue players on social media insinuating things and hinting at things. And, you know, it's just not a good look, right? So, you know, again, without naming a bunch of names, there's some players who have made themselves a part of that. And I just don't think they're doing themselves any favors. So, you know, right. With Ashford coming in, you know, quietly, you know, just posted something on his Instagram like all players do. But, you know, they're looking to bring guys in the mold of this coach, which is put your head down and get to work. Right? Right. That's the Harsin brand, right? It's not a bunch of flash. It's, you know, lunch pail, hard hat, you know, let's go to work. I think Ashford will be that. And, you know, I think that Zach Calzada is that as well, too. So this could be a very epic QB battle, because both those guys have dynamic talent in their own right.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. Like, I'm looking forward to the battle. There's no prohibitive favorite, which means that some guy gets a chance to make himself the favorite through hard work.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
Ability. That's exciting.
In just a moment, I kind of got an impromptu game that I want to play. But hey, this is it. The putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. And for the new year, NetSuite has a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/locked. That is netsuite.com/locked. War Report Wednesday, Mike G, C-Dub. How can folks check out all the content that you guys are putting up these days?
Well, guys, you can head right on over to us on YouTube. Check out our channel. We have content pretty much on schedule. Our lives are Wednesday, Sundays, but a lot of the news that's been coming out, you can check us out. We'll throw an impromptu live here and hang out with the fans, talk amongst ourselves, react to a lot of the news, whether it's portal related, recruiting related. You know, we got a position group, we got a position coach we have to fill in the next few days. So We're constantly there bringing you great content. Also, we're covering basketball, the number two team in the land. Really should be number one team in the land. We're covering them. So head on over to our page on the on YouTube with the War Report. We have stuff constantly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You guys do a fantastic job. So let's just right now, shooting from the hip, project the quarterback depth chart going into 2022.
I hate this game. Come on, Zach. There's a competition.
Oh, I think people want to hear our thoughts on who that'll be. And if y'all don't want to, that's fine. I'll give you mine, and y'all can react to mine. How about that?
All right. All right.
How about that?
This
is assuming no one transfers. This is assuming no one transfers, but I think we all agree that people probably will. But I think the order will be Calzada, Finley, Ashford, Davis.
That is a very reasonable take. Just based on experience alone, I think that that's fair to say that, you know, Finley maybe in the second spot and Calzada, you know, the presumed starter if there is one.
Well, that's why I was like, I think he is the favorite at this point.
Why do you feel he's the favorite?
Because I don't know the answer to that, C-Dub, and I'm glad that you asked that. But I think it's just because of the nature of his situation. He started at an SEC school. Granted, it was by injury. But I think he's got the cleanest path to playing time. And
It's not a bad take at all.
Look at what he did versus Bama. If you go back and you watch the tape and you're thinking that's his ceiling,
right?
We can win with that. I mean, he made some incredible throws in that game. He played out of his mind. How do you get that more consistently out of Calzada? Well, let's talk about the situation that he was in. Texas A&M had the third worst offensive line in our league last year in pass protection. And they were terrible. He was literally running for his life. He played the last third of the season on a bum shoulder. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, his shoulder was hurt when he played us. We know that for a fact. And so he's recovering from that. And, you know, I think he flashed his potential at times last season. So, you know, what you're looking at now is you're looking at a guy who's coming in and he's more mobile than the incumbent, right? He can move. He's sneakily athletic, which I like, but he's not a run first QB either. So if his ceiling, if we get more of Calzada versus Bama than, you know, whatever terrible game he played last year, then that is an upgrade for Auburn. And we don't need a Heisman winner at quarterback, I think, to be good in 2022. We just need a guy who can hit his deep balls and generally be accurate and throw guys open.
Yeah, the issue is, like, while it could be a little bit better at quarterback, like, the current state of things, the receiver room is not better than it was a year ago, I don't think. I think with one or two guys, you make and change things, but like I don't think it's better. I think you lose Demetrius Robertson, who wasn't great, but he was the second best that you had, and then you lose Kobe, who was the best that you had. So we'll see. I think you can get some transfers and change that quickly, but it doesn't matter who the quarterback is in that scenario, though.
But down the stretch, was receiver the issue with our offense? You could argue it may have been early on, but I think our receiver room got better as the year went on. There were just some continuing issues that went on the whole season regarding run blocking. Like, again, you want this offense to revolve around Tank. And it's amazing how this guy even made 1,000 yards considering how teams stacked the box and how poorly we blocked week after week.
Right.
If we fix that, I think that begins to cover a multitude of sins as it pertains to receiver. And who knows? We have a lot of time to grab someone out of the portal to make up for Kobe. I admit that we do need another body in that receiver room, but I think there are other pressing issues given the identity that Harsin wants to have at Auburn that has to be resolved.
I do think the timing of everything stinks because if they do go to the portal and get a dude to replace Kobe or Demetrius Robertson or, you know, whoever it may be, to be whoever wins a quarterback job, his first guy, he's not going to go through spring at this point.
Right, yeah.
That's true, and that stinks. That really, really stinks.
Listen, this is where you have to be willing to do the work that nobody else wants to do, though. You know, so if I am coming in and, you know, I'm a transfer wide receiver in the summer, I'm grabbing my quarterback and I'm headed out to the field and I'm developing chemistry immediately.
Right? Yeah.
Those guys should be doing that now. Right. If I were TJ Finley, I'm right now knowing that they're bringing guys in and I would be throwing them balls.
Mike G, I'm having a hard time understanding you with that. But
okay, I thought it was just me at first.
Yeah, no, but see, I agree with them, and I think you do too, as far as, you know, getting things done outside of practice is important.
If you were struggling to hear what he was saying, like what he was getting at is the time is now. If you're a quarterback at Auburn and you're on campus, the time is to build chemistry with your receivers now.
Right.
And any given chance and opportunity, listen, y'all need to start hanging out together, becoming friends. You need to know each other on the field and off the field.
Right.
And I think the sense of urgency has to be there with these quarterbacks in order to build that, because we saw it a lot, even with Finley. We saw it at times with Bo early on in the season. They were just out of sync at times. Right. And so I think the sooner you address that, the sooner you get on the same page going into spring, post spring, summer workouts, the better it is for the chemistry with the QBs and the receivers.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see Ashford and I want to see Calzada. I want to see them competing of being like as close and as tight as possible with every wide receiver on this team. And I think that's going to be a big part of it. You know, earn the trust of John Samuel Shanker, because that's going to be very, very important, because he's going to be one of the leaders in this locker room in 2022. So
I agree with that. I will add this on the end. I'll tell you what, this spring has to be managed differently from the quarterback position than last spring was managed.
Sure. Yeah.
And when I say that is, I mean, last spring we marched a quarterback out there to take half the reps that had zero chance of starting. And they can't do that this spring, right? So this spring, you know, the guys that hit the field need to be the guys that have the chance to play. And I would like to see, if you look at how Oregon managed their spring game, Brown, Buttermeyer, and Ashford all got significant reps in the spring. And you actually got a chance to look at those guys and say, okay, they all looked good, honestly. They all right. looked good in the spring, and like they had rapport with the receivers. And, you know, I'm hoping to see a little bit of that this spring as well, too, from our quarterback room. I want to see these guys go out there, get significant snaps, and really get a chance to show what they can do.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, thank you guys so much. As always, once again, how can folks check out everything you guys have going on?
Yeah, we're over on the YouTube, so go check us out. We are The War Report. We're on every social media platform. That's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. We're all over the place. We're covering basketball as well, too. So become a Patreon member. Check out our Patreon content.
Absolutely. Hey, on tomorrow's Locked On Auburn, we will be joined by Spencer McLaughlin. He does our Oregon show, Locked On Ducks. We will get his thoughts on the three new Auburn Tigers and former Oregon Ducks. And also, he chimes in on how Oregon is taking in Bo Nix, and he continues to be a polarizing player. Shocker. All that and more on tomorrow's Locked On Auburn.